King Solomon, what a conflicted character. Despite all the good he did, he ended his life as an idolater. Was he saved or lost? Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, because we're beginning a new series called Saved or Lost. We're going to look at some of those conflicted characters in the Bible, and we're going to ask that simple question. Today, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this interesting subject. So, here's today's Grace in Focus discussion.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with Dr. Bob.
Hello.
Hey. Well, we want to start a new series here. It's called Saved or Lost, and we're just going to flip a coin? No. We're going to look at some controversial figures in the Bible, because here's what happens. Here's the problem. People think there's this idea that you can know if you're born again or not based on your behavior. And there's this idea that if you're truly born again, you're never going to commit a major sin. You're just going to keep on getting holier and holier every single day of your life. That arrow is just going to keep on going up and up and up, and you're just going to be getting better and better and better. True believers always get better. And if there's any fault in your life, any sin in your life, you have reason to believe that you're not really saved. And sometimes to support that kind of theology, people go to the Bible and they pick out questionable characters in the Bible to kind of show what unbelievers are like, or what is or is not possible to happen in the life of a believer. So we're asking this question, well, are these controversial characters, are they saved or lost? And the first person we're going to examine is King Solomon.
King Solomon, I think, is a great example because he's an author of Scripture, right? He wrote Proverbs, at least much of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. God appeared to him twice, probably the Lord Jesus Christ, since John 1:18 says, no one has seen God the Father any time, but his only begotten Son has revealed him. So he met Jesus at least twice. Remember, Jesus asked him what he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. And because he asked for the right thing, he not only got wisdom, but he was the richest king. He was the wisest king. He had great power, everything.
Did he say he built the temple?
He
built the house where God's presence was.
That's right.
Well, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. And we're going to read about, this is not like the highlight. This is not the high point of Solomon's life.
No, you remember that one of the things God told the kings is not to multiply horses and wives. Now, that doesn't mean wives are like horses.
This is a country song.
No, the reason they didn't multiply horses is because horses are like tanks today.
That's military
power. It was military power, and God wanted them to rely upon him. But secondarily, they were not to multiply wives. That's one of the puzzling things in the Old Testament is polygamy wasn't outlawed, and David had more than one wife, and David was a man after God's own heart. But Solomon went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
He had 300 wives and 700 concubines.
Well, we're going to find that out right now.
Yeah.
So let me read this passage, 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 to 13. And remember that our topic for today is saved or lost.
Okay? Oh, and by the way, I got it backwards. It's 700 wives and 300 porcupines.
Porcupines. All right. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them.
So there's another problem. Not only did he marry lots of women, which was contrary to what God said.
They weren't good Jewish girls.
They were foreign wives.
Yes, foreign wives. You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you, surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.
And that's what happened to Solomon.
That's what happened. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart.
Which is what we saw up there in verse 2.
For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. Ooh, this is idolatry we're talking about.
He's violating the first commandment.
This is straight up worshiping false gods.
Right.
Solomon.
Right.
The guy who built the temple.
Right. The wisest man ever. Somebody you'd think could never fall.
And who did it? He's an old guy, and his young wives are like, you know, I worship this thunder god or this, I don't know, this kind of horrible goat-headed god or something. And Solomon went along with it. My goodness, anything for a pretty face. For it was so, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David.
Yeah, now that word fully follow shows that up until this point, he was following
right. His
father as David had, and he was a good king up to this point.
Right.
But he fell away at the end, which is a great tragedy.
It is a great tragedy. It also shows something about, we used to call this missionary dating, you know, in back in Quebec, where there weren't very many Christian girls or there weren't very many Christian boys, and so people felt lonely. And they kind of rationalized themselves, hey, maybe I'll try to date an unbeliever in the hopes of converting them. But the truth is, missionary dating works both ways, doesn't it? Right? The followers of Milcom are trying to convert you to their foreign ways. And atheists are trying to convince you to become an atheist.
Right.
It just does not work.
And it didn't work with the wisest man of all time who met with Jesus face to face.
Right. Who wrote scripture.
Who
at this point already wrote scripture.
Right.
He wrote Proverbs.
I think this should be a caution for us,
Listen,
big caution.
In fact, Paul says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
And that's got to at least apply to marriage.
I mean, it's obviously related to business, any other sort of fellowship context.
So things get even worse for Solomon. So his heart is turned away. And in verse 7, listen to this. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Molech, isn't that the child sacrifice god?
Yes, yeah.
So he not only built a temple for the true God, now he's building altars and worship places for these foreign gods too, even a place where I believe they sacrifice children to Molech.
Right, right.
That is absolutely scary. And this is from an author of scripture. This is from someone who, as you say, God appeared to.
Yeah.
And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So as punishment for this type of failure in his life, Solomon lost his salvation, right?
No, that's the question, saved or lost. And
right.
What I'm going to suggest is that the issue here is not whether he's born again or not born again. The issue here is he's experiencing God's blessings or not. He was experiencing God's blessings up to this point, but at this point, he's now experiencing God's cursing. And as a result, his son, Rehoboam, loses the northern kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, ends up and gets the northern kingdom with the 10 tribes.
So by the way, I think it's important for our listeners to hear this. We believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved.
Right.
Once you have eternal life, that life is eternal, right? It's forever life, as I explained to like my little kids.
Right.
You can't lose it. There's nothing you can do to lose eternal life. But the question is, what does God do when an unbeliever, you know, the objections come. Well, what about if someone does this? What if someone apostatizes and converts to Islam or something else? What does God do then? They must lose their eternal life then. Well,
no.
We have an example right here in Scripture.
No. Now, Solomon is an example of a believer who strayed. He's not an example of a person who never believed and strayed. He was a believer, and the fact that he died as an idolater, in my opinion, means he's not going to rule with Christ in the life to come, which is a great tragedy because here's one of the great kings of Israel, and yet he's not going to be a ruler in the life to come, but he will be in the kingdom because he was a believer.
And by the way, please say why he will not rule, because one of the conditions of ruling with Christ is that we need to persevere in faith until the very end.
Yes, if we endure, we will reign with him.
And Solomon didn't endure.
Right. And we also have these vice lists in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 21, Ephesians 5, 5 to 7. And one of the things listed on the people who won't inherit the kingdom are idolaters.
Right. And so here,
he died as an idolater.
He's not only an idolater. I mean, he actually built these places.
He promoted it.
I mean, it's one thing to kind of like have your mind stray. It's another thing to build a worship center for a foreign god.
Right.
So he didn't just stray. I mean, he apostatized, really.
Right. And the way I understand inheriting the kingdom, that means ruling with Christ. And so he's not going to rule with Christ, but he'll be in the kingdom. And you're right. You mentioned the issue of apostasy. Someone apostatizes. Nothing can stop the new birth. Remember, Jesus said, John 3:16, shall not perish, but has everlasting life. John 5:24.
Shall not come under condemnation.
Shall
right?
not come into condemnation.
Pass from death to life. And it's
That's
eternal.
Right. John 5:24. Yeah. And John 11, verse 26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Or 10, 28, and 29.
Right. No, no one can pluck them out of my hand no. or the Father's
so
hand.
So all of those things definitely speak to eternal security. But what's not secure are your rewards.
Right. And Solomon is losing rewards here.
Another thing that's not secure is your status in this life. God could send temporal discipline upon you for
right.
what you've done. And
right.
that's what he does here to Solomon. Except he shows him a little bit of a mercy. He says, I'm not going to do this now to you. For the sake of your father, not because Solomon didn't deserve it. He certainly did. But
right.
for the sake of your father, I'm going to do this in the next generation.
Right.
Whew, that gives us a lot to think about.
Yeah, it sure does.
If you are a believer and you are not faithful, if you've taken that for granted, if your heart has been turned away to other things, it might be your heart has just been turned away to the things of this world. It might just be your heart has been turned away to fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. If you've done that and you're not persevering in your faith until the end, if you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not living that life pleasing to God, you need to watch out because God could send temporal discipline in this life. But it also means you will lose out in rewardability in the life to come. And you will not hear those words that we all long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So I would counsel you to confess your sins, and if you need to, repent of your sins and begin living your best life in Christ today, right now, at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bob and Sean, for that great discussion and especially the assurance that it brings. Eternal security really is about faith alone. Speaking of faith alone, that's the name of our website. I'd encourage you to come visit us at our website because we've got so many great resources that can help you go deeper on subjects like this. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got a free subscription to our print magazine, podcast, blog post, event details. You can get it all on our website. Also, you can make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry to help us continue the work we're doing, and we would very much appreciate that. You might like to reach out to us, and you can do that by email, radio@faithalone.org. That's our email address, and we check it daily, radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to investigate a very conflicted character in the book of Acts, Simon the Magician. So tune in for that. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.